بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمد ونصلي على رسول الكريم أما بعد reading the importance of aqaid and beliefs from the Quran and Ahadith we learn that the most valuable treasure is iman and the greatest calamity is kufr and disbelief everlasting success is the result of iman while everlasting loss is the consequence of kufr Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allah is the one who has created you however some amongst you are disbelievers and some amongst you are believers. Mankind is therefore divided into two groups. One is the disbeliever who is ungrateful to Allah Ta'ala. He has been ungrateful, rebelled and made treason against his creator. For him is everlasting punishment in the year after. As for the believer, he submits to the command of Allah Ta'ala. He is grateful, accepts the sovereignty of Allah Ta'ala and affirms his rule. For the believer, the reward is great. He has been promised lofty mansions in the gardens of paradise, Jannah, peace and perpetual happiness. Righteous deeds are only acceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if iman is present. Without correct beliefs, righteous deeds are not accepted for reward in the year after. Allah ta'ala says, whoever practices righteous deeds, be it male or female, while he or she is a believer, that's the condition, verily they will enter into Jannah. The first question posed to a person in the grave will be regarding beliefs. As far as those whose beliefs are not correct, that is the non-believers, their righteous deeds will not be acceptable in the court of Allah Ta'ala in the year after. Aqaid are like roots, and actions are like the branches. Just as how branches grow because of the roots, similarly, beliefs are the source of actions. Therefore, the greatest and most imperative obligation on man is to correct his beliefs and to cleanse them himself of wrong ideologies. Then he should adorn himself with good actions and try to earn Allah Ta'ala's pleasure, which in fact is the prime object of coming into this world. Secondly, one must realize that from all the religions, Islam is the chosen religion by Allah Ta'ala himself, and the rightful inheritors and true followers of Islam are the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'at. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, that when there will be a lot of fitnas and all evils, then hold firm unto my path. And so they asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what's the way out? What path must a person hold unto? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ma ana alayhi wa ashabi, that path upon which I am and my sahaba radiallahu anhum upon, which we call the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, those who follow the Sunnah and those who follow the Jama'at of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So not only we following the Sunnah, so a person opens the Hadith Kitab and Nawi, or he wants to understand the Sunnah himself. But without the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, is that possible for us to understand the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So we look in the lives of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and a person starts understanding the Sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And thereafter, the great fuqaha came, the great imams, and they also looked in the lives of Sahaba, they looked in the Sunnah, and they extracted all the masail in great detail, they explained to us. So when we are following one of the four mazhabs also, we are following the Sunnah and we are following the Jama'at of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So this is a way of salvation. Thirdly, one has to understand what the beliefs of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'at are. Their beliefs are those which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and all of them remain steadfast on these beliefs without any differences. Later on, people introduced new beliefs and divided into many factions and groups. Nevertheless, the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'at remained staunch on the beliefs of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and did not devise their own belief structure. These are the same beliefs found in the Quran and the Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore, this kitab was prepared also, and Allah Ta'ala gave us tawfiq that through we correct our aqidah, we see what is the right aqidah and belief. The person can do all actions in life, but if his beliefs are incorrect, there is of no real benefit for a person. And especially in today's time, where all funny kinds of beliefs are out, and especially the worst of them is of atheism, Darwin's theory of evolution, the Big Bang theory, which is taught today in all our schools also, and teachers are teaching it, the children are learning it, they're writing it in examinations, is this their belief structure or not? So many questions are now coming to Darul Iftas. Muftis are getting questions where people say, I don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I don't know the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a lot of doubts people have. Then also, like example, homosexuality, lesbianism. One is a person doesn't himself do it. It's completely haram for a person. We all know that a person says, no, I feel there's nothing so bad about it. You must have a person got a choice in life, or a person, they've got natures, So according to the nature, Allah created the person in that way. That is why a person is doing the fear. So even though a person himself may not be doing it, but he's got the incorrect belief regarding that, so that is even more dangerous for a person. So a person has to have the correct belief regarding this. That this is إِنِّي لِعْمَلِكُمْ مِنَ الْقَالِينَ, hated in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hated in the sight of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam. So a person has to have the correct beliefs. Even sometimes the person doesn't practice upon it, that's the weakness of his iman. But his belief must be correct regarding all the matters of aqidah and beliefs. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and ability. And especially for our children, the youngsters today, we should not actually send them to such environments where their belief structure is destroyed. Best is at home, we teach them or make some other system. But if a person's child has to go to these places or is forced to go to these places for whatever reason, then parent has to be very vigilant and careful what his child exactly is learning. And a great effort has to be made to remove all his incorrect beliefs. Explanation has to be given. As I mentioned, we should not send our children to such places. Nobody puts his child in Jahannam and then they have to try to remove the savings from the fire. But if perchance the person's child is there, then we have to be very careful. Ask them also, what are they learning? And today now, with the new this year, the syllabus, where they've brought in all of this sex education, and they're making it like binding upon the children to learn funny things. So then the children are coming up with wrong ideologies and wrong beliefs. This is affecting the iman of the people. Allah Ta'ala give us true understanding. The last two surahs of the Quran Sharif, Surah Falaq and Surah Nas, this is called Mu'awwidhatayn. Many of the people say Mu'awwidhatayn, but it's actually Mu'awwidhatayn, the two surahs which protect, not the surahs which are protected, but the surahs which protect. So Mu'awwidhatayn, there are great virtues mentioned regarding these surahs. And Hazrat always mentions to us that in the deen, a yusrun deen is very, very easy, very simple. And the most simplest things Allah has kept for us is the most amount of benefit. For example, La ilaha illallah is so simple, there's so much of benefit in there. Surah Fatiha is such a simple surah, everyone knows it. And the amount of benefit there is there, so much of goodness. Similarly, these last two surahs or last three surahs of the Quran are very simple, but they are great, great benefits. So, Hazrat Mawlana Qasim al-Nawfi rahmatullah has explained very beautifully that these two surahs, how they protect a person, in what way do they protect a person. So in Qul Huwallahu Ahad, we are learning Tawheed, the oneness of Tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are planting the seed of Iman within ourselves. Now when a person has got a seed, and you're a gardener, and a person wants his seed to grow to the fullest, and he wants the fruits to come out, and it must benefit the people. So, as Mawlana Qasim al-Nawfi rahmatullah mentioned, that when a person has got a seed, one is the seed of wujud, his own existence, and the seed of Iman within himself. Now he read Qul Huwallahu Ahad, he's got the seed of Iman growing in within a person now. Tawheed is got within himself. But now he wants it to grow to perfection, high levels of Iman and Tawheed a person must get. So now a person, he's a gardener, he has to give water to it, he has to protect it from certain factors which must not destroy the seed. So Mawlana says that outwardly there are four normally things which can cause harm to a seed. If a person is planted a seed, the first thing which causes harm to the seed which is growing is herbivorous animals. Animals by their nature, if they're not doing it out of because of any external factor, they've got hatred or anything. By nature they're hungry, they want food, so they go and now they'll start eating their food, the plantation. So this is one thing which will destroy the plant. So a person has to, the gardener has to look, that there must no animals come there and destroy the plant. The second thing which normally can cause harm to the plant is if the plant doesn't get water, it doesn't get sunlight, so this doesn't come and benefit the plant. So it's deprived of natural elements which it needs for it to grow. So this is also a second thing which the gardener has to be careful. It's given enough water, it's given enough sunlight. The third thing is an external factor which comes and destroys the plant. For example, there is hail, there is snow which comes now. So now externally it comes and it's extremely cold, like the whole plant was destroyed completely and now there's no existence of the plant. And the last thing which the gardener has to be very careful of is sometimes you get people who don't like the farmer, or they don't like the gardener. They are the enemies of the gardener, or the enemies of the farmer. So they will come and now and try and destroy the plantation, and because they want to cause harm to that person. So these are normally four things which cause harm to the plant out externally. So in Surah Falaq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the ilaj and the cure for all four, and to protect a person's iman. So the first thing Allah ta'ala said, A'udhu bi Rabbil Falaq, we seek the protection of Rabbul Falak, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the one who gives life and existence to everything, and the shoot of that plant which is inside the ground, Allah ta'ala gives it existence. It was non-existence, Allah ta'ala gives it existence. From darkness it comes into light. So we are asking Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for protection from these four things. Means, whatever thing by nature It will cause harm to human beings. A person by nature, when any animal comes, it attacks a human being. It's the nature of the animal, a dog, wild animal comes suddenly, it attacks a person. So those things by their very nature, how Allah created them, they will come and cause harm to a person. So a person is seeking protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. The second thing which is seeking protection for his iman and the existence of his body also, in shari ghasiqin idha waqab, Mawlana says like for all our natural things, waqab means to chubjana, to hide, to conceal oneself, whether it's the sun or whether it's the moon which is benefiting a person, now it doesn't benefit the plant. So similarly, a human being, he needs water, he needs food, he needs a house, he needs all of those things. So we are asking Allah Ta'ala protection from these bounties and ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala to be taken away from a person. The thing was, it will hide itself away, go away from a person. A person doesn't have food, a person is going through poverty, difficulties. So now his body cannot grow. He goes through all of these kinds of problems and difficulties. So we are asking Allah protection from that. Then the third thing is, min sharri naffasati fil uqad, it means the woman who are blowing in the knot, who are causing jadu, etc. External factors. Some external factor which comes and causes harm to a person, whether it's hail, whether it's a person making jadu on somebody. There's some external factor coming. Not a natural thing. Not natural things in a person's life goes, but external factors are coming to harm a person. So a person is asking Allah Ta'ala for protection from that. And the last one is from all enemies. A person has enemy in his life. A person has got jealousy for a person, so he tries to cause harm to a person. So Allah Ta'ala, that jealous person, when he tries to cause harm to me, Allah Ta'ala save me from his step, from his evil. Yeah, we're not asking Allah Ta'ala to save us from jealous people. As the Hazrat mentioned in the Ramadan also, that a person is not jealous over the wall, for example, or a donkey, because the donkey has no qualities. The wall has got no qualities. Any person who has got qualities, Allah has given him some perfection, automatically people will be jealous over him. So we're not asking Allah Ta'ala to be saved from jealous people, but from the evil of jealous people, when they try to cause harm by the means of their jealousy. So we are asking Allah Ta'ala protection from those four factors which normally cause harm to a human being. External factors, we are asking Allah Ta'ala protection from there to grant us all our rozi, our sustenance. External factors of some animal harms us, or jealous people, enemies. All of these things, the person is asking protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so beautifully. And then, as Mawlana says, that there is another, one more harm which can come to an animal, which can come to the plant. And that's not from an external source, but from an internal source. You get these... termites, which is inside the plant, which it eats inside the plant, and it destroys inside the plant. Outwardly, you see the whole tree standing, but the termite is eating through the plant and it's going right through. Nobody realizes it, and then one day a person gives it one shot, and the whole tree falls down because the thing inside was completely cochlear. It was completely empty. There was nothing inside it. So the whole plantation is destroyed because of the day. So Ya Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, the next surah Nas. Allah Ta'ala, we are asking Allah Ta'ala protection from shaitan. Because shaitan runs in the insan, in the shaitan yajri min al-insani majradam. Like how our blood is flowing through a person's body, shaitan is flowing through a person's body. And the way or the one fitna which he causes waswas. He puts thoughts, evil thoughts, which are ulama say min al-jinnati wa nas, from human beings' thoughts and from jinnat. So when the shaitan is going through and human beings, they come by means of the media, etc., and it creates the doubt in the mind of a person. So now a person is confused, as we are mentioning about aqidah and belief. Now a person eventually is confused. Is this belief correct? Is this correct? So now a person has got a lot of doubt, the media and the propaganda which they are putting in the world. So this surah is actually protecting a person from all of those kind of doubts, all the kind of waswasa and doubts which a person gets, and the thoughts which come to a person's mind. He is asking Allah Ta'ala protection from that day. And that is the internal sickness, that is the internal enemy, and it's the most dangerous enemy. So here three qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are mentioned. Rabbi Nas, Maliki Nas, Ilahi Nas. Oh Allah, I need your protection. Three qualities of yours I'm using, oh Allah, to protect myself from all of his waswasas and his doubts and his thoughts and incorrect beliefs, etc. We are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From here, ulama say that all the others in the first surah, we are asking Allah ta'ala protection from external harm, external which will cause harm to our body. But this harm here is the harm which will be caused to a person's iman. So they say from here we can understand that the smallest amount of dini harm, it can never compare to the greatest amount of worldly harm. If a person goes through whatever worldly harm, but he's still got iman, inshallah, he's completely successful. But a person's dini harm, that's why three qualities of Allah Ta'ala are used here, just to save a person from one harm, in sharril waswasil khannas, the evil of shaitan, who is putting all the waswasa and doubts in a person. So a person is asking Allah Ta'ala protection. So if a person reads these surahs in abundance, inshallah, a person physically also, externally, his body will be protected, and internally also, from all of these doubts and incorrect beliefs, etc., a person will be protected. We teach our children also, even if you mentioned going to certain environments, but inshallah through the barakat of Quran Sharif, at least if a person's iman is saved, even though it's the wrong environment and what and what evils and akhlaq is destroyed, their character is destroyed there, but if at least a person's iman is saved, that is why we find the surah Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam give a lot of encouragement for it. Some narrations it comes that after every salah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is to perform it, to read these surahs. So one sunnah is, example, now Fajr we can read قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ after every farz namaz. But remember those farz namaz in which they are sunnah. So there are the sunnah method is that we don't read our sunnah, we don't read our tasbihat, or we don't read our surahs, ayatul kursi after the farz namaz. We read it after the sunnah namaz, because the sunnah namaz is the mukammilat, the completion of the farz. For example, the doctor says you must have your medication after supper. So now he didn't say after supper and dessert. It is after supper, but the dessert is part of the supper. It's the mukammilat, the completion of the supper, or the tea which a person is having. So we are told, like, read this after the tasbih fatimi, after the farz namaz. It means the farz namaz with the completion of the farz namaz. Or ayatul kursi after the completion of the farz namaz with the sunnah namazes. So similarly, these surahs, after every farz namaz, Allah give us tawfiq, we read it. One hadith, it comes, the Nabi Sallallahu woke up in the morning. First thing which he recited, he read, Alhamdulillah, illadhi ahyana ba'dama matana wa ilayhi nushur. Then, kul a'udhu bi rabbil falak, kul a'udhu bi rabbil nas. And when going to sleep at night, also Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to read it, which also it comes in the one way of doing it, is that we read, kul wallahu ahad, kul a'udhu bi rabbil falak, kul a'udhu bi rabbil nas. One time, then we blow on our hands and we rub on the whole body. Then we read it a second time, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ عَدْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقُ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. In a third time we read it and blow on our body just before sleeping. So this is one amal also. So in that way we can read it. So one is when we wake up in the morning and we're sleeping, after every farz namaz it's قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقُ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. And as we mentioned, the seven valuable prescriptions, morning and evening. So after Fajr, for example, three times قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ عَدْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقُ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. And after Maghrib Salah in the evening, تَكْفِيكَمْ إِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. It will save a person from every kind of evil, every kind of harm. So all kinds of harms, worldly harms and spiritual harms, it will save and protect a person. So we try and read it those times also. And whenever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sick, he was ill, then also it was his habit, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. He blew on his hands and rubbed it over his whole body. So whenever Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became very weak, then she would read it and then blow on the hands of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and then rub it over his body. Actually, no, we can do it on our own hands and blow it. But she said, where can my hands ever equal like the hands of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So I said, blow it and read it on his hand and then pass it over his body. Once one brother came back from Jamaat, so I said, in the morning, if you can read it, mentioned that Haji Abdul Wahab Sahab, rahmatullah alayhi, mentioned that this surah, even for cancer, it will protect a person. If a person has got cancer, he Haji Sahab said it 200 times, a person must read, Qula'udhu bi Rabbil Falaq and Qula'udhu bi Rabbil Nas. Maybe 200 times daily, whatever. Inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will take out a person from this kind of sicknesses. So it is a very powerful surah. Every ayat of the Quran Sharif is very valuable. But the easiest surahs, Allah has placed a lot of barakat and blessings in them. So we should try to make it a normal practice of reading these surahs and bring it into our life. Allah Ta'ala grant myself and all of us tawfiq. We have come to the end of a small, very small, brief explanation of the Quran Sharif. And Hazrat mentioned that they are this Quran Sharif, by means of it, Allah Ta'ala will raise nations, the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And by means of the same Quran, Allah will disgrace people and Allah will bring them down. So how will Allah Ta'ala raise people? When people will follow the Quran Sharif, the etiquette and adabs of the Quran Sharif they will bring into their lives. So Hazrat mentions very briefly that there are seven etiquettes of the Quran Sharif, which we, every one of us, must see. That have got these are basically, very basic, but they are much, much more also. But the basic etiquette of the Quran Sharif, number one is iman in the Quran Sharif. That I have to believe in the whole Quran Sharif. As a whole, I believe in the Quran. And every single ayat of the Quran Sharif also I believe. Even though there might be some ayat which I do not practice upon my weakness. Example, capital punishment in today's time. Or, for example, the laws of hijab. I do not have it at home. We do not have the full system of hijab, but I believe in it. As a weakness of my iman, I'm not following it. But I believe in every law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first thing is that the belief in the Quran Sharif. The second right of the Quran Sharif is the love of the Quran Sharif. To create the love of the Quran Sharif, we must have extreme love for the Quran Sharif. Like how today we've got love for everything else. The person has got love for his cell phone. But how much of love and time and devotion does a person have to Quran Sharif? But together with the love of Quran, and that a person has to develop, try to bring within himself, make an effort on it, that the love of the Quran Sharif must be coming to embedded in a person's heart, and we should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also. Allah gives us that love. And the third thing, together with the love of the Quran is azmat and the respect and the honor of the Quran Sharif. It's not like a person likes his magazines or his books, but he got no respect for it, so he puts it under his pillow. It's not even permissible to read all of these comic books and all that. But people have love for the novels, but they're hiding it under their pillow, so they haven't got respect for it. Whereas the Quran Sharif, we have love for the Quran Sharif, we have to have the highest amount of azmat and respect and honor and glory of the Quran Sharif. In by means of the one is the wudu a person has to make from the side of Shariat. And Hazrat mentions that we must try to cover our Quran Sharif, don't leave it naked, like how a person likes to wear clothing. And then we don't love just love like that, but we normally cover ourselves, we stay in a house, we are covered. So we have a juzdan also of our Quran Sharif. Then wash the covers, don't leave it now. Our whole life we don't wear one kind of clothing, we don't ever wash the Quran Sharif, our clothing. So the Quran Sharif covers also, we should wash it. And the water is very mubarak and blessed, don't throw it down the drain, but you can sprinkle it on our walls, in our houses, etc. Because it's connected to the Quran Sharif. So a person must try to cover the Quran Sharif. And there are many other etiquettes, how a person must hold the Quran Sharif, not with our left hand, not the person puts it in a school bag and he throws it over his back in the back and he's walking with that. But the Quran Sharif is held close to our hearts. And we have to teach our children also how you must hold the Quran, how you must kiss the Quran Sharif, the respect of the Quran Sharif. So this is the third right. The fourth right of the Quran Sharif is ta'allum al-Quran, to throughout our life to learn the Quran Sharif. That there is no level a person can say, I have learned the Quran, now I have learned enough. Because even if a person becomes an alim, he becomes a mufti, the tafasir, how many they are, what meanings of the Quran Sharif. A person's tajweed, there is no level, limit to a person saying, I have reached the ending now. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the best of you is he who learns the Quran and teaches it. So to whatever level, even if I'm a businessman, I can still learn the Quran Sharif. There is tafsir of Quran in the morning in the masjid. If there isn't, we can encourage our ulama ikram, please have a program daily. So we can be learning some ayat of the Quran, some verses of the Quran. You can learn, somebody asked me the other day, a simple kitab, Miftahul Quran. A person learns the ayat of the Quran, simple ayat, and then a person, he learns, at least he will know his last few surahs, what's the meaning of the Quran Sharif. So learning the Quran, all the time a person must have this concern, how can I learn the Quran and improve myself in the Quran, in the learning of the Quran. Then number five is, Tilawat al-Quran. Throughout a person's life, he must make Tilawat of Quran Sharif. And if we can at least leave with one thing when we leave from here, that for the rest of my life, inshallah, every day in my life, myself and my family members, inshallah, we will dedicate ourselves to the Quran Sharif. Some portion of the Quran Sharif we will read daily, even if it's 4 pages, 5 pages daily, have a certain time for it, and the person be punctual on it. There was one uncle, not a half page of Quran also, but mashallah, very pious person. So it was his habit that every day he would read one para of Quran. But with every salah, he'd come early for Fajr salah, read quarter para. Before Fajr, after Fajr salah. Zuhar salah, another quarter. Asr salah, another quarter. Maghrib salah, another quarter. If he must have any quarter, then Isha time. So in this way, one para he would read. And if today was the first of Ramadan, the first para he'll read. With the second, he'll read the second para. So he knew exactly the Islamic days. Today is the 14th, I'm reading 14 para. Today is the 14th of the Islamic days. Only if there was 29 days, there was only 29 days in that month, and the next day he would read one extra para. Amma para was easy. So he'll read two paras. Let's say every month he would make one khatam of Quran Sharif. And very easily also, and that by means of that, a person comes early for salah also. So a person is punctual with his salah, and he tries to look after his Quran Sharif. So a person can manage, inshallah, we've got time for everything else, but for Quran Sharif. But at least we can start off somewhere. If you can't reach that level, 3 or 4 pages a day, or the says, that inshallah, by a person doing so, every year he'll manage one khatam of Quran Sharif besides the month of Ramadan. And the month of Ramadan, at least another khatam of Quran. So minimum, 2 khatams of Quran Sharif. This is the bare minimum. The more a person progresses, the more a person does, inshallah, he will benefit greatly. So tilawat of Quran Sharif. And then ta'aleem ya Quran. That whatever level we can teach the Quran Sharif, we continue teaching the Quran Sharif. The person is an alim, he teaching the masjid, have the rest of Quran Sharif, teach other students. Or if a person is a normal person, whatever level of Quran he has learned, he can teach his children, teach them the surahs of Quran Sharif, make an environment in the house. Or a person, if we cannot directly teach, but we can sponsor somebody who is teaching, we can give money to a madrasa, where somebody is becoming hafiz of Quran, sponsor that person. And in this way, we can promote the teaching of the Quran Sharif. And the last right is tabligh al-Quran. So not only to Muslim people, but spread the teachings of the Quran Sharif. And whatever we are learning in the Quran Sharif, in different ways, by means of literature, by means of da'wat, by means of speaking. So the message of the Quran Sharif must go throughout the world. The whole world today is looking for the solutions to their problems. And all the solutions are found in the Quran Sharif. Found in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they are looking for it. They are looking for it in the wrong places. And we are hiding the treasure which Allah has given us. We are keeping it concealed by ourselves. They are looking for guidance. And if a person presents the Quran Sharif to the people, the meaning of the Quran, the teachings of the Quran Sharif, people's lives will change. And how they will appreciate it. And and we'll be opening the path to Jannah, everlasting life of Akhirat for them. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant myself and all of us tawfiq inshallah, that we regard the Quran Sharif, that this is my book, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah has granted it to every one of us. What a ni'mat Allah has given to us. And we make this the object of our life. And by means of this, Allah ta'ala will raise nations. And because today we have left the Quran, it must not happen on the day of Quran, that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also he objects against us and he puts a case against us. Ya Rabbi, inna qawmi hadha ittakhadhu hadha al-Qur'an mahjura. Wallah, my people had taken the Quran and thrown it behind their back. Imagine, you got the Quran against you, you got Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam against you. What answer will a person have on the day of Qiyamah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us true understanding.